Welcome to the voice of St. Anthony Parish from Allston, Massachusetts, right here on WROL. You know, if this is your first time tuning into our podcast, I just want to welcome you and hope that our words today touch your heart, as I do every single day. If you're returning to our program, then welcome back. Assuming that you're returning because you've enjoyed the previous programs, we encourage you to share this link with friends and families so we can reach a larger audience. You know, as St. Peter said, silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give freely. And so here we have this very thing that we give freely to you. And in this case, what we have is the Word of God. With that being said, let us discuss today's subject. And one of them I want to talk about is something that happened last week. As a matter of fact, one of the fascinating things about it is as it happened, Facebook became unreachable. Now, I don't use Facebook. I do not like Facebook, and I don't use Facebook. But one of the fascinating things that happened is it became unreachable, and it was right after this whistleblower spoke about Facebook, and according to her, Facebook didn't act well enough to change negative contact to negative content to change the way that negative content led people to use the service more. But as I'm watching the report that was on 60 Minutes, I'm looking at that because obviously one of the questions that may pop into your mind is this whole negative content, and Facebook is dealing with this, and all of a sudden, and I've dealt with people, and I've been myself cyberbullied, and I've dealt with people who've been cyberbullied. We've seen that. We know the effect of it. That paragraph 230 from the law, I know that if they remove that paragraph and make it retroactive, the response to it, I know that Facebook would probably be sued out of existence because of the great negative aspects that have happened by people using the platform who have promoted negative content. But there's an interesting idea that popped into my mind. If you know what a cloud chamber is this thing they used to teach us in high school science where it was, I think it was maybe done with dry ice or something like that. And through a cloud chamber, you could see the path. You couldn't see them themselves, but you could see the path. I think it was electrons or neutrons or some kind of atomic particle. You could see the paths. That's what a cloud chamber was. And so that was an indication that, in fact, there really were atomic particles. Well, is Facebook a sign that original sin is real? There is an interesting question for us to look at. Is Facebook a sign that original sin is real? Now, one of the things we know that community organizers use the exact same principle that I was thinking as I'm watching this report on 60 Minutes through YouTube, I'm looking at, I said, that is the exact same philosophy that community organizers who follow the teachings of Saul Alinsky, by the way, not necessarily all community organizers, but the ones who follow the teachings of Saul Alinsky use. And that is when you can rile someone up emotionally, you can get them to do what you want. Hey, you know, let's go after them. Let's do this. Let's do that. Rah, rah, rah. And you get people riled up. I mean, people have been using that technique probably for thousands of years. And Saul Alinsky highlights it in his book, Rules for Radicals. So, and those who teach based on Saul Alinsky use those techniques. So, but what does this show? That people are, it's not so much that people are more engaged with Facebook because of the negative comments. It's where is the negativity coming from in the first place? And that's probably the more important question. It's the more solid question. Now, one of the things that we have to understand is that St. Paul called us to change that when we were interacting. Say only the good things that people need to hear. That's from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And it's one of the things that I illustrate a lot is that as Americans, we have the right to freedom of speech. I have the right, I've used this in a homily, I have the right to say anything I want, and the government can't tell me I can't say that unless it is naturally harmful. The example always is screaming fire in a movie house. Another example of it, which, by the way, is a limitation of free speech, came out of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. And therefore, you cannot give a fake broadcast with the assumption that something that appears to be happening is not. Most when this has been violated, that law is not repeats of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds, because that only happened once. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Orson Welles in 1938 did a Halloween show where he actually did as like news reports, we interrupt this program, and those kind of reports to make it sound like that the United States was being invaded, or the world was being invaded by Martians, and people believed it. So, but out of that came a law that made it illegal to create what appears to be an actual situation going on when in fact it wasn't. And where this law is most broken is what is known as fantasy concerts. And that is when a radio station creates, through using live albums, the reality of, or the fake reality of, a real concert going on. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. You're listening to Saint, the voice of St. Anthony Parish from Alston, Massachusetts, right here on WROL. Do you know that you can put together an adoration chapel of your own in your own house? With concerns surrounding the coronavirus and social distancing, many miss the opportunity to pray before the Blessed Sacrament. However, with a little ingenuity, it is quite easy, and you are not doing anything irreverent or illicit. Simply search Eucharistic Adoration Live on YouTube, and several live channels in different parts of the world will pop up. Now you can engage in Eucharistic Adoration in your own home if it is not available in your local parish church. Eucharistic Adoration Live on YouTube. St. Anthony Parish, Alston, Massachusetts. And don't forget our website, CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can check out our website. You can check out our new shopping page. And if you're doing some shopping, that might help build the power, or the support the parish. What's the word I'm looking for? Support the parish ministry. That's what I'm looking for. So, which includes my latest book, my brand new latest book, but it's really not fully released yet. So it's your opportunity to go through it, to read it, you know, buy at a discount a copy of the book, read it, and tell me what you think before we go any further. So that's what you can find there, as well as some mugs we have. We're going to be putting up more mugs as we go along, and that connects you to some other things. So anyway, all that is going on at CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can also listen to the archives of the show, and you can share the show so that others can hear what touches your heart, which is why you're here today. So I was talking before the break about fantasy concerts and freedom of speech. So anyway, what I'm saying is a fantasy concert. So what a fantasy concert is you take a bunch of live albums and you make it sound like there is a real concert going on someplace. I remember back in the late 70s when there was a fantasy concert going on in some place called Green Valley in Southern California when I was in the Navy. And I'm like, and these guys saying, "We, you know, this is going on in Green Valley." I'm like, "Well, where's Green Valley?" And no one had ever heard of Green Valley. And one of them says, "Is Janis Joplin is there?" I said, "Janis Joplin has been dead for 9 years. This was in 1979. Has been dead for 9 years. No, it's a fake concert. I'm going to tell you. I know how they do this. This is a fake concert because, of course, I worked in radio." And, of course, the following day, there were some possibility of charges brought up against the radio station that did. I don't know if they ever brought the charges. The other story that happened was happened in a local radio station. Similar situation, fake concert, the whole bit. And it took place in Enfield, Massachusetts. Well, if you don't know, there used to be an Enfield, Massachusetts, but it doesn't exist today. Enfield actually is at the bottom of the Quabbin Reservoir. So these people drove around looking for Enfield, Massachusetts, and, by the way, never found it because it was a fake concert. So that's an example of where the law says you can't have this freedom of speech. But the law otherwise leaves us open to freedom of speech. But you know what? St. Paul does not. as people of faith, as Catholics and those Christians who are listening who've come from other faiths, we don't have freedom of speech. We're called to work our speech, to only speak in ways that support other people. And so the question is, obviously that's an act of will, to choose to say only what supports other people. And when we don't speak like that, that is a sin. And when we think of that and think of what this element that came out of this whistleblower from Facebook, an interesting question it is, and I'm not referring to Facebook at all, are we looking at evidence of original sin? Now, the famous saying by Reinhold Niebuhr is original sin is the only empirically provable doctrine of Christianity, which is the only way, the only doctrine we can say, oh, well, there obviously is something called original sin. You just have to pick up a newspaper and see it. But this brings us to a new level, because the question is, why does this discourse turn so negative? And the obvious question is, and I studied sociology in college, so obviously I also studied philosophy. One of the questions that can come out of this is, does this prove that we have a natural inclination down there, which would prove original sin? It's a fascinating thing. I remember speaking to someone who was an atheist, and they were talking to me about global warming, and I said, you do realize that global warming proves original sin. And I explained to them why. I said, because global warming apparently comes from the fact that the way we are acting on the earth and our industrialization and everything is changing the atmosphere, causing the atmosphere to get warm. Well, if we were acting naturally within the concept of nature, that would be impossible. And in fact, no other species can do it. But here we are, because of all this supposedly causing global warming, and therefore, that is a more of a proof of original sin in Christian doctrine than anything else. And you can kind of get a sense of that in the spirituality response to that from the Pope's Laudato Si. It's returning to a more simpler spirituality. We'll talk more tomorrow. We also want to remind you that we are here every single Monday through Friday, right here on WROL 950 AM and 103 FM. And if you've heard what you've heard today touched your heart, we encourage you to share today's podcast with friends and family so they can be enlightened as well. Our goal is to reach new listeners every single day, and together we can make that happen. Thank you again for tuning us in, and we will talk tomorrow.
En Cristo vivimos.